This is an ABC podcast.
This is Baby Talk Podcast with Penny Johnston.
It's funny how teeth become such a big topic for discussion when you're a new parent. Almost every ailment a baby can have is put down to, oh, they must be teething. And as a consequence, we can dread the arrival of a new tooth. But teeth are a very important part of your child's development, and looking after those teeth is vital. It's hard to know when to start and how to start caring for your baby's teeth and their oral health. I mean, did you know that you need to start brushing your baby's teeth as soon as they turn up? I know, it was something I had to be told. And when exactly do you start taking your child to the dentist? Well, some of the latest Australian research has shown that more than 4 in 10 children haven't been to a dentist by the time they're 5. So we're a long way from the days when the general thought was, oh, don't worry about the baby teeth, they're going to lose them anyway. Australian dentists want you to know how important it is to start caring for your baby's teeth while they're still a baby, and why you need to start straight away.
The mouth is pretty hidden away. Like if a child had a sore finger to the same degree that many children are walking around with sore teeth, I think we'd all know about it a lot more. But because it's a bit hidden away, it sometimes gets overlooked. It's not, you know, something that you see from the outside of their appearance. And if a child's had tooth decay from a very early age, it's something they've learnt to live with, that discomfort, not being able to handle eating hard or crumbly foods or hot foods or cold foods. And so it's something for these children that have experienced it from sort of almost before they could talk. It's very difficult for them to express what's going on in their mouth.
Dr. Sarah Raphael is a mum and specialist dentist at the Australian Dental Association. Sarah, you can probably better explain what your role is as a dentist.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm a specialist paediatric dentist, and now my role is senior dentist at Australian Dental Association in New South Wales. And that involves a lot of advocacy work and trying to kind of really get the message out there that tooth decay, especially in babies and young children, is still something that is very much on the horizon and something that we'd really like to make parents aware of.
It can come as a bit of a surprise to parents, but dental care is one of the really important things that you should be doing for your children, but it perhaps doesn't come up as being as important.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think it's because tooth decay, while it does have implications, especially later in life, impacting on your general wellness, it's something that can fly under the radar a little bit. So we know that children that experience tooth decay, and particularly severe tooth decay, show up those signs of not being able to eat comfortably, being in pain, maybe not sleeping well, not thriving as well as they can, not concentrating as well as they could at school perhaps. But for some children where it's perhaps not quite as severe, it goes under the radar. And because they've put up with that level of chronic discomfort and they've avoided cold foods or hard foods or whatever, it's something that maybe doesn't show its head and can be an underlying thing that causes them to perhaps have behavior problems or not concentrate as well and not be as happy as they could be or not sleep as well as they could.
A lot of parents don't necessarily know that they should be cleaning their baby's teeth pretty much as soon as they arrive.
Yes, that's absolutely right. So it's really important as soon as they come in the mouth. People sometimes look at the primary teeth or baby teeth, as we call them, and think that they're not important because the children are going to get another set. But you've got to realise that the baby teeth are coming into the mouth between 6 and 12 months of age, but they're going to be in that child's mouth until they're maybe 12 to 14 years of age, some of those teeth. So it's a good 10 years. So we really do need to look after them very, very well to ensure that they can have those healthy teeth in their mouth until the right time for the adult teeth to start coming through.
Yes, and as somebody who's now spending some time at the orthodontist, those baby teeth are a placeholder. They're there for a reason.
They are. That's absolutely true. And we all know that in the rare cases where children are missing teeth, that it can cause some spacing problems. So obviously, if you have decay and it leads to a tooth having to be taken out early, then it can lead on to some things that we don't want to see in the adult teeth. But I think even the more important thing than the spacing is we know that the level of oral health you have in your baby teeth phase of life is a really strong indicator for your oral health in the rest of your adult life. So we know that those people that have a great record of having great baby teeth that are decay free, they've got the better chance of having adult teeth that are decay free than the ones that have suffered from tooth decay during their early years.
Wow, this may be a bit of an urban myth, but I have heard that some parents go, oh, well, it's okay because my baby's being breastfed. We don't need to clean their teeth. Is that an urban myth?
Oh, absolutely. So the sort of natural sugars that you get in breast milk and the natural sugars that you get in cow's milk or baby formula milk, which is the milk sugar, lactose, it can be used equally by the bacteria in the mouth, and they break it down and form acids, and it's that acid byproduct that can cause decay. So it doesn't matter whether it is a bottle-fed baby or a breastfed baby, there's still absolutely a requirement to look after the teeth by brushing them as soon as they come into the mouth. Now, obviously, as soon as they come through in the very early months, 6 to 12 months of age, then we start to introduce it in a really gentle way. You might think about playing with a baby-sized toothbrush in the bath and just trying to get in and have a little bit of a go in the mouth during bath time. You might be looking at a soft cloth or a clean face washer to be rubbing that over the teeth and gums either in the bath or on the change table, just to start to get the baby used to having some cleaning done in their mouth. But it's without doubt that as soon as those teeth are in the mouth, they are there and able to start getting decay unless we do things in a really good way to protect them. So like many other things in the body, individuals react a little bit differently, and that's certainly the case with all teeth and baby teeth in particular. Some people will have teeth that are much stronger and more resistant to decay, and they've just really strong enamel that protects against that, whereas other people might be more susceptible. The enamel might not be quite as strong right from the beginning, and we certainly do recognize that. But at the end of the day, it really does come down to protecting the teeth by what we eat and what we avoid eating, and also keeping them very clean. We do know that the foods that have sugars, and even the ones that have hidden sugars, and sometimes things like dried fruits and yogurts that people think are very healthy, can have a lot of natural sugars in them and added sugars. And we have to really be quite aware that whenever we're eating and drinking those things, that there is a potential to cause decay. So once we know that a child might be more susceptible to decay, we've got to be even more stringent at watching what we eat and making sure that they get cleaned very, very thoroughly. And that also runs in families. So we tend to see a family where a couple of the kids in the family might be quite susceptible. So certainly in a young family, if you've had your firstborn child seems to have quite a lot of problems with decay, you'd really want to get onto it for that child, but also for any subsequent children, and make sure that you're doing extra things to ensure that they're protected a bit more.
The bacteria that causes decay in teeth, it's a pretty opportunistic thing. It's out to get you whichever way you can if you're not being vigilant.
Absolutely. And I think the thing to highlight there is everybody has decay in their mouth. Every single person is susceptible. And the good bacteria versus the bad bacteria, just like we talk about in the stomach, the bad bacteria will overtake the good bacteria in your mouth if we're feeding them lots of sugars. They love sugars. So hidden sugars, available sugars, natural sugars, any sort of sugars, those bacteria are going to build up a lot in the mouth. And once you have that scenario where you've built up many, many of those decay-causing bacteria in your mouth, it gets even harder to bring it back to normal.
With really young children, when would you first consider taking them to see a dentist? I mean, it seems a bit crazy to take a baby, but How old would you like to start seeing patients?
Well, certainly the recommendation from the Australasian Academy of Paediatric Dentistry is that a child should be seen by the age of one. And that's the recommendation. And that doesn't need to be having that child booked in on their own to have that appointment, but definitely going along to a dental appointment with a sibling or with a parent or carer. And then we have the opportunity to have that child in the chair, maybe on a parent or carer's lap, go for a little ride up and down, get them used to what it's like in there, have a very quick look around the mouth. Usually we're able to have a very quick look and see if there's anything that looks like it's a bit risky and things that we need to discuss. So it's not a full on lying back in the chair, open your mouth, have every tooth extensively counted or x-rayed or anything like that. It's a quick scan at that age. But it does set up that child for life then to know that going to the dentist is a good experience. So instead of now seeing the other scenario where you've got a five-year-old who's in pain, who might have a very bad decay situation or an abscess in the mouth, their first experience is going to be going to the dentist, needing to have something done. Really, it's going to be quite a different sort of a visit. And that's why the recommendation is that we should take them very young.
And I guess the other thing too is, Sarah, don't project your own dentist experience onto your children. They're not necessarily going to have a bad time to start off with.
That's absolutely right. And in fact, there's many, many children and adults now that have never had a bad experience at the dentist. And there's no reason to, because they're the group that have started going, they've gone regularly. If there've been tiny things that need to be done, they've been done when they're small and they haven't caused any distress at all. So that's a much better scenario if you're thinking about your children than perhaps yourself if you didn't have that same experience and you were one of the ones that the first time you went or you got into a situation where you had to have a lot of things done, which were, you know, much more onerous than going for your lovely little ride in the chair, maybe getting a sticker or a new toothbrush and, you know, skipping out of the dental surgery. That's a much nicer scenario.
So as a dentist and in your mother's group, I mean, what were some of the things that you did that you didn't notice other mothers doing? I mean, were there things that you wouldn't let your babies eat?
I guess there were, but, you know, somebody might be judging what I fed my children as well. You know, maybe it wasn't healthy in another sense. So, you know, I'd like to take that judgment thing away. But I guess, you know, as a mother, there are a couple of things that I really concentrated on. And one was the things like dried fruits and things, which many of the foods that get the healthy label, but underlying they really are more treats than health foods. So very sugary yogurts, and it's very hard to tell unless you're reading the small panel on the back. So thinking things like things in people's mind that they substitute for sugar, thinking it's more healthy, things like honey or other sorts of sweetening ingredients, we've still got to remember that they're quite decay causing for teeth. And I guess the only other thing I tried really, really hard to do was to steer away from any sugary drinks. And that included even flavoured milks I tried to steer away from. And they were seen as things for treats rather than things that my children would have every day.
Oh, no, it's always really interesting to see what things absolutely were your bottom line that you yes. wouldn't budge on for your children.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think it comes down to moderation. You know, certainly, yes, my children had dried fruit. Yes, they had yogurt at times. Yes, they had, you know, sugary drinks, but they weren't everyday things. They were things that they had every now and then as a treat. I just did want to do a quick shout out about the Child Dental Benefits Scheme, which is available to families who receive a Centrelink payment, so things like Family Tax Benefits A. And the thing about the Child Dental Benefits Schedule is that it provides just over $1,000 worth of treatment over a two-year period for all children from 0 to 17 years of age. So if families are thinking that it's not really within their financial means to be able to get that checkup at age one or age two for their child, this is something that they might be able to access that would assist them with that. And it's a federal government, sort of like a Medicare funded dental scheme for these children. And we know that it's really underutilized. So only about a third of the people eligible for it access it. And we'd really like to get a shout out because that we know that it's tough out there for a lot of families to work out they can make the financial commitment for things like dental visits. But when there's a scheme like this, we'd really like to see that those that are eligible are accessing it and using it to give their child a better start from an oral health point of view.
And it's so important because it's a real hidden thing. I guess it sort of creeps up on you. If something's wrong, it may start small but can end up just being so painful and cause so many other problems as well.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, you know, the mouth is pretty hidden away. Like if a child had a sore finger to the same degree that many children are walking around with sore teeth, I think we'd all know about it a lot more. But because it's a bit hidden away, it sometimes gets overlooked. It's not, you know, something that you see from the outside of their appearance. And as I said, if a child's had tooth decay from a very early age, it's something they've learnt to live with, that discomfort, the feeling of food getting stuck and wedged into a hole in their tooth, not being able to handle eating hard or crumbly foods or hot foods or cold foods. And so it's something for these children that have experienced it from sort of almost before they could talk, it's very difficult for them to express what's going on in their mouth.
45% of Australian children under the age of five had visited a dentist.
Yeah, by the time they're five. So it's only half, which is where we say that the child dental benefits schedule is so important because it would enable a lot more of those children from 0 to 5 years of age to be able to manage to go and see a dentist.
Do you think it is just the financial barrier to consulting a dentist?
No, I think it's lots of factors. I think you touched on the factor of parents being apprehensive of going to the dentist themselves. And, you know, innately we all want to protect our children from things that we have found unpleasant. So I think there's that. I think people are very, very busy. And I think that we don't tend to maybe seek it out if it's not been something that we've done ourselves as adults. So if we've been less regular attenders, it's probably something that it doesn't come straight to mind to parents to do for their children. So I think it is really multifactorial, but we do know that one of the barriers is basically the cost of dental treatment. But the other thing to also mention is that all children are eligible for the public system within their own local government area. And so there are opportunities for children to see a dentist through the public services in New South Wales as well.
Sarah Raphael, Specialist Paediatric Dentist at the Australian Dental Association.
Baby talk!
Baby talk!
Tell your friends if they have a baby, they need to listen to Baby Talk.
Baby Talk. We are a weekly podcast about being a parent, and you can have this podcast delivered to your files by simply looking for a subscribe button when you find Baby Talk on the ABC Listen app or on iTunes. Just look for us searching Baby Talk, one word. And if you subscribe, you won't miss an episode like this one, where child psychologist Tom Osborne talks about how a psychologist will go about assessing your child and some of the important information that you really need to remember about your child's pregnancy and birth.
What was the pregnancy like? Was there drug use or alcohol use? Was there any complications in that space? In the early stages of life, were there sleep problems? You know, was the baby experiencing a lot of distress? You know, could they, you couldn't stop them crying, or they couldn't settle no matter what you tried? Were they restless? You know, what was their temperament like? Were they responding to their parents socially? Were there sensory issues going on? You know, were they underreacting or overreacting to the environmental stimuli around them? Maybe they hated being touched, or they were overly sensitive to noise.
I'm Penny Johnston, and I'll see you next time on Baby Talk.
ABC Baby Talk is a weekly podcast on ABC Radio, wherever you get your podcasts, and on the ABC Listen app. Like us on Facebook to find out as soon as a new episode is ready. Just search for ABC Baby Talk.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.